This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm sentimental. You know, it's just a lot going on, dude. This has been a really powerful year, you know, and we're leaving our dusty old pipe shop this week, and we're moving on to other digs. But I'm feeling it, dude.
Yeah, you know, part of me wants to play the whole, you know, moving on up, but
we'll save that because that's not this episode. And that'll have its place, and we're excited about that. But so anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But things are good, man. It's been a busy summer. You know, summer is in full gear, which means it feels like we're living on the surface of the sun. And so things are crazy around here, but they're going well. Yeah, it's funny. Typically this time of year we always talk about it slows down because it's just so doggone hot. People don't smoke inside anymore, they smoke outside. And so when it's pleasant outside to smoke, then people smoke more pipe or cigar or whatever. And so this time of year we tend to take a little hit, but you know, for whatever reason it's been really, really strong. So we're incredibly thankful.
Yeah man.
Yeah.
You know,
it's been good.
It is interesting. I was thinking about it actually earlier today. My wife and I were enjoying a little brief respite away from the children on the front porch, and just enjoying just the extreme heat mixed with the light rain that we got and just the humidity. And I was thinking, man, you know, like people pay big money to get this kind of like spa treatment.
Boy, do that, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know,
like,
right?
Like we're born and raised in it, man.
Yeah. It's so funny. I was talking to someone today. I said, well, my wife's not from Mississippi. They said, well, where's she from? I said, Arizona. And they were like, well, she must hate this kind of weather. And I'm like, she loves it. Like, she's the one that loves it, and we're the ones that are just miserable. And we're used to it, right? We were born in the middle of this swamp. Yeah. I don't know. It's awful.
It's definitely an experience. But speaking of experience, man, so a lot of things going on. We got to give a major shout out, man. Like this is really cool. I saw this kind of come through the other day. Shout out to Ryan Phillips. Now Ryan Phillips, who's listening right now,
long time listener, supporter of the show,
special supporter of the show. He was actually our fifth ever Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, International Pipe Club member. He's the fifth person to sign up. And I know this because whenever anybody signs up to become a member of the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, they're assigned a serial number. Now, it's not that we're trying to like number everybody per se. It's just kind of one of those things to let you know that like there's a unique factor to when you sign up. Russ Hicks, for example, very proud of the fact that
like, number one, baby.
Well, I don't think we got the words out of our mouth and he was already on it. Well, like right behind Russ, man. And we're kind of this initial wave and of the very night that we announced the International Pipe Club of people that joined. And among those members was Ryan Phillips. Well, Ryan Phillips originally joined at the Pilgrim level. This last past week, he has actually upped his membership to join us at the Squire level.
Dude, so Ryan, he's bumping it up, man, from Pilgrim to Squire.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great.
Yes, sir.
That's great. Ryan, thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
And if you're paying attention, yes, I did pronounce his name correctly, and if you upgrade, I feel like if you get like a double shout out, you know what
good.
I mean? Like, that's when it's on me.
At that point,
you got to do it right.
Right.
Or maybe he might have actually changed his membership for the sole purpose of me mispronouncing
just
his
to
name.
Try it because you, yeah.
Ryan, let us know. Felipe. Man, beyond that, we've got some great things going on locally. Of course, this last past week we took to Twitter as the Squire selected the final shindig.
That's right.
Or the last shindig. Did we ever decide what that was called?
I think it was the last shindig.
The last shindig.
Yeah, yeah.
Went this last past weekend, went to Twitter. I actually took a couple of videos while I was here with my iPhone.
Did you get any photos of that?
I did not get some photos. No, yeah. I think
you got some video, though.
I definitely got some video. I did a kind of, panoramic
kind of thing.
Yeah, and got a chance to see everybody.
You know, it's always interesting. This shop is so small, and it gets so crazy whenever we've got, big events up here. And, you know, it's hard when you're in the middle of it all to to stop and just take pictures, you know, just to take a couple of photos. So I'm always on the other side of these events, invariably, you know, asking around, like, did you get any photos? Because I didn't get any photos. Did you get any photos? You know?
Absolutely.
It was a great time, man. Golly, we had a lot of fun. Just a bunch of old friends stopped by, people telling stories, and, man, just, you know, kind of loving on the old shop. And it was great, man. Our dear friend, Kim Owen, who, you know, daughter of the Reeves family who started the shop, she was here. And it was just a really, really precious time. Yeah. Well, and it was great.
And so that's the thing, right? Like, this last past weekend was this kind of big special event for kind of the local community, because the Squire has been such a stable here in Jackson, Mississippi, and in kind of the central Mississippi area. You know, not just those here in the capital city, but those in the surrounding areas will travel outside of their way to make this place a very special respite, or you know, just coming to get, you know, get the hand blended tobacco as opposed to the tins, and even just coming to get the tins from the local retailer.
Yeah.
And so it's been like the staple in a lot of people's lives, and it was a great chance for the local community to come together and, before this big change, celebrate what has been. And so tonight, that's kind of what this episode is. This is kind of in a similar vein to some of our big milestone episodes, like our 100th or 200th episode, where we kind of almost take one for us. We're doing that tonight, but we're not necessarily taking one for us. We're kind of taking one for the Squire, because, of course, this podcast would not exist if not for this shop, and the shop would not exist if not for the people that made it what it is today.
Yeah, it really is an institution, you know, and we, you know, we are having so much fun here, and we have such a great time with what we do, and the incredible, you know, atmosphere that's here, and the spirit around us. But you know, all that was very haphazard, in some ways intentional, but also we stand on the shoulders of a lot of people, right? A lot of different experiences, and so we just want to kind of take a look back and say, like, man, what is this place we love? You know, what is this place we know and you know, have come to have great affection for? And yes, we thought we'd just tell a little story about the Country Squire.
Well, Matt, like, so it's kind of pull up a chair and let's have story time.
Well, you know,
it's
fun. I thought we'd drink a little champagne tonight. That just
makes
sense.
Spilled it.
That you've already spilled. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be Country Squire Radio if you wouldn't spill it.
This is my last spill. In the old shop.
Well, you got a few more days left.
Well, yeah, you
know? That's true. The episode's only like 5 minutes in,
yeah,
so
that's
great. Right.
That's a good point.
It's a good thing it's cheap champagne. So, you know, drinking a little champagne tonight. I've got, I'm actually smoking one of Mr. Reeves's pipes.
Wow.
Jim Reeves was the founder of this shop back in 1970, and this was one of his favorite pipes. It's a Sheraton. I've spoken about it on the show before. It's a Lane era executive. I've been offered a lot of money for this pipe, and have not bitten, because it's very important. But smoking his favorite blend out of this pipe, actually, which is Cornishman. It's one of our house blends that we've made here at the shop for gosh, almost 50 years. I mean, that blend is just really, really time honored and popular. And you know, so we just thought we'd you know, kind of reminisce a little bit and enjoy that. Some other little knickknacks here we've got. I thought were kind of fun. This is actually the first.
Oh, wow.
This is an old. If you're watching live, this is a deposit book, a bank deposit booklet. And this is the first deposit slip that the Country Squire ever deposited.
Wow.
So the first deposit the Country Squire ever made was on August 13th of 1970 for the amount. It was a big day. It was a big day. It was the amount of $76.12.
Hey.
And that day they had $25 in cash, currency, and they had checks, four checks, from the last names of people: Moore, Hudson, Smith, and get this, Cole.
Really?
And, yeah, believe it or not. So, yeah, that's
spelled the same way
kinda,
and everything.
Yeah, spelled the same way. So, anyway, that's kind of neat. It's a first.
Mama Cole making a long trip.
I know, right? Yeah,
there.
No, yeah. That's it. That's
all
it
from Texas.
Yeah, kind of cool. So this is the first day's revenue we ever took in here at the Squire. Pretty special. But, you know, just little things like that have you know, been a part of going through the shop stuff and, you know, taking stock and thinking about, okay, we're going to move this stuff next door. Where we're going to put it all, and stumbling upon these little memories, you know, it's been fun. So, yeah, just to, you know, of course, we talk a lot about our little pipe shop here quite a bit, you know, on the show. Obviously, it's named after our show is named after this institution that we love, and but we are going to recap a little bit. Founded in 1970, Jim and Gwen Reeves, they were just a wonderful couple. I actually never had the chance to meet Mr. Reeves, but Gwen, of course, hired me many years later. Jim in the late 60s, he actually was laid off. You know, Jim was a Frigidaire refrigerator salesman. Okay, like that's back when that was a thing. Okay,
that seems like such a classic thing too.
You know, like the Maytag guy.
Yeah,
like that was him, but for you know, Frigidaire, right? Wow, I mean, it's just amazing to me. Like, you know, he had the guy and he went around selling refrigerators and, you know, stoves or washing machines or whatever. And there was a plant here in Mississippi. They had some layoffs. You know, you got to think about what was going on in the time, 70s and oil crisis and just, you know, Vietnam War. And anyway, the economy here in locally in Mississippi kind of suffered, and so they laid off. And you know, Jim was this larger than life character, right? He had this sweet, you know, little dainty, sophisticated Southern wife, and he was this big, burly storyteller, right? He was just the one that always, you know, kind of commanded the crowd when folks were around. And so, you know, in Jackson at the time, you know, you had this, you know, this part in Jackson where he's got a sleepy, conservative little Southern town, you know, and Jim had been a pipe smoker for years and years. And it was one of those things. He was like, you know, well, maybe we could do this. I mean, at the time, they'd kind of heard of premium smoke shops popping up in other parts of the Southeast. That kind of trend was finally starting to make its way to the South. And, you know, Bo, the only place in Jackson, Mississippi that you could buy a pipe, like a premium briar pipe, okay, not a Dr. Graybo, not a K. Woody, a premium briar pipe, the only place you could buy that in Jackson, Mississippi, guess.
Walgreens.
JCPenney's.
Really? Close.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow, JCPenney's.
And McRae's, our old department store.
Yeah.
Remember McRae's, which eventually was bought out by Belk? Those were the kind of places that you had to go to buy a premium briar pipe.
What did that even look like?
Isn't that wild?
Like, I'm thinking glass display, the kind of way they do cologne and such or something like
exactly.
That?
Yeah, exactly. You got to think it'd be in the gift section, maybe by the wallets or, I mean, I don't know. You know?
Makes
I mean,
sense,
it's,
yeah.
It's just so fascinating. But that's the kind of, you know, probably next to a really fine, you know, display and selection of crystal ashtrays and things like this. It's just a different time, right? When you could smoke in the grocery store shopping for, you know, lettuce.
The man just, that would take on JCPenney's.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Jim Reeves, yeah. you know, they were, again, we've told the story a few times. They were unsure, right, that this kind of smoke shop would take off in a sleepy, you know, conservative Southern town. And, of course, smoking back then was, you know, not as, you know, much of a faux pas or whatever it is today.
Oh, totally different market.
It's a different market. But then even then, you still had the more conservative elements that were like, well, smoking, I don't know, that's still, you know.
At the end of the day, we are Baptist country and have been for a very long time.
And what's interesting are the Reeves, you know, of course, they were dyed-in-the-wool Southern Baptists. I mean, mm-hmm. These were folks that were members at First Baptist Jackson until both of them passed away. And
wow.
So it was interesting.
Wow.
They were kind of putting their feet in the water here in this, this market. They were like, well, we don't know about this. And so unsure about how this would go, they actually went and shadowed. This is pretty cool. They went to Memphis in early 1970, and they shadowed with a guy named Elliot Abel. Now, Elliot was the owner of a shop that we've mentioned before on the show called Tobacco Corner.
Really?
Tobacco Corner opened in 1969 in Memphis, Tennessee. Back in the late 60s, 70s, Tobacco Corner was, you know, just this vibrant hub of premium tobacco here in the Southeast. And they had gotten started right before the Squire did. And so the Reeves, they wanted to see if this could, you know, be something that they could get into. And so they actually went to Memphis and stayed for a week and shadowed with Elliot and his family, and, you know, just to kind of see how the market worked, if this is something they could see themselves doing on a daily basis, if they could get their kids involved, and you know, what the mechanics of running a premium tobacconist, you know, looked like, right? And so they went up there and shadowed under Elliot, who was kind enough to kind of take the Reeves in and and do that. Interestingly enough, we mentioned recently that Tobacco Corner actually closed, right? And so,
very recently, yeah.
Yeah, just a month ago or so, they had their last day. And I don't know if we mentioned this on the show or not at the time, but Nina and I, my wife, we actually went to Memphis to kind of help them. We went there on their last day of business, and we kind of talked with some of the guys, and just got some memories of their old shop and that kind of thing. It was a really special time, and it was cool for me to be able to kind of communicate to them that their shop was kind of the part of the genesis of our shop, right?
And, man, and that is crazy.
Isn't that really interesting?
Well, because I've mentioned before that I used to live in Memphis for a short amount of time. The first time I picked up a pipe was in Memphis at a shop that is no longer open. I won't mention the name,
right?
But it has also recently closed,
right?
And I had a terrible experience there, and it was because of the amazing experience at the Country Squire that I actually got back into pipe smoking.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Interesting.
And it's funny how that works. Yeah. It's really, really fascinating, the tight-knit community that the pipe world has had for literally decades. Funny side story. So we went up there that day, that was Tobacco Corner's last day. This is what, a month ago or so, and interestingly enough, I haven't told this to anybody on the air yet, but and I don't know if I've mentioned it to you either, Bo, but as kind of a nice memorial to Tobacco Corner and how they helped our shop open 48 years ago, we actually bought their Indian.
Oh wow!
We have their Tobacco Indian.
Yeah, so this is kind of the
like
carved,
they're six foot tall Native American,
yeah,
holding holding a bundle of cigars, proudly proclaiming that this is a tobacco shop.
So this
6 foot tall wooden Indian is, as my wife rolls her eyes, is actually in our guest bedroom right now, and we're thrilled as much as we're going to miss our shop. We are thrilled to get into our new location.
Yeah.
So that we can bring
our. I
feel
that one member of your family is particularly thrilled to get that out of
the house. We can bring that precious. We can bring that precious Indian up here to the Country Squire and have it proudly displayed. So
it's kind of
cool. We'll have a large kind of honor to that shop up
there.
Awesome. And of course now it'll become a part of our story as well. So they went up there. And that was incredibly helpful, and so they decided to go for it. We've talked about why the name the Country Squire, right? We have mentioned that several times. Just the idea that they weren't sure a pipe shop or a smoke shop could make it in a place like Jackson, right? And so they named it something the Country Squire, something like that, just because they could make it pivot in a direction if they needed to. If they were shunned for selling pipes or premium tobacco, then they would switch to being a gift shop, or maybe they'd sell hats or fountain pens or whatever, any kind of widget. But
or Country Squire cars
or Country Squire, absolutely. So it's just it was one of those things. They needed a some safety net there. The times were economically unstable, and they were trying to be cautious, and so they wanted to do a pipe shop. They wanted to go in that direction, but they weren't sure. And so Mrs. Reeves told me the story one time. She was sitting in bed just doodling, and she was like, "What the heck are we doing? We're about to open a smoke shop." And she told me and I kind of had the image. She's sitting up in bed, got her glasses on the end of her nose, and she's doodling, and she draws the legendary Country Squire shield, and the little pipe that goes into the letter T, which makes the word thee, and then the little swirl of smoke, and she's like, "Well, this is it," and that was how the logo and the name was born. And so, kind of cool. But anyway, so August 11th of 1970, the Country Squire opened, and it quickly took off and became this this real hub for premium tobacco, in the Southeast, and has been. Such for a long time. It's been a hub for people, storytellers, local characters. Obviously, if you've been to the shop before on any given day, you've talked to all kinds of saints and scoundrels and everyone else, right? But you know, it's a favorite place for local celebrities to come kind of muck it up. You know, we've talked a lot before about folks like, you know, Willie Morris when he wrote My Dog Skip. He, right after he got off the phone with his publisher saying, okay, everything's a go, he came out to this shop to pass out signed copies and things like that. Of course, Jerry Clower, the famous Southern comedian, you know, just always up here holding court. Someone told me today the largest wad of $100 bills they'd ever seen in their life was when they were at this shop in the late 70s, and Jerry Clower was trying to make a point, and he pulled this wad of $100 bills out of his pocket and said, "It's been a good day." And so, you know, it's just stuff like that. It's
a precursor to the hurricane right there.
Well, one thing too, you know, of course, in Mississippi, we always, you know, historically and in the present also, are well aware of, and that's, you know, that's our struggle with, you know, racial integration over the years too, going back, you know, to the founding of our state, really. And one thing the Squire, we, you know, can be really proud of, and we are proud of, is that we've always kind of been an extremely diverse, integrated place, right? And so it's you know, been this melting pot from the very beginning, a place where you've got people of all different kinds of creeds and stripes and you know, whatnot coming together, and so, you know, folks are getting to interact you know, with each other very regularly. I love that about our shop, that I'd say, gosh, if you had to pin it down, we're probably, as far as our local clientele goes, I'd say probably 60-40 white-black, which you got to think, okay, going, you know, if that's historically true, you know, going back to the 1970s, of course, you know, things were, they were, you know, just off of things like integration and busing and...
And everybody, you know, knows Mississippi was totally cool with
no problems at all, right? No problems at all, yeah.
But no great civil rights activist shot, killed, murdered here.
Right here in town, yeah. You know, so you got to think of all the strife that our state has gone through, and yet from the very early stages, the Country Squire was a very just a very safe place for anybody to come, you know. And so some of our best, most longtime customers, some of the most faithful customers that were at you know, Mrs. Reeves' funeral when she passed away not quite 10 years ago now, you know, they were elderly African Americans that had been shopping here since the early 70s. Isn't that great?
Man.
You know, it's just, you just have that. That's you know, they may not have been able to you know, meet in a lot of different places together, but they could come to the same smoke shop and be part of the same family. So,
man.
pretty cool.
Beautiful.
By 1975, there were three locations, with a fourth location soon to come. Of course, you know, they built the what used to be the Deposit Guarantee Building in downtown Jackson. I don't know if you remember Deposit Guarantee Bank, but they when we were growing up. But they the tallest building in Mississippi at the time was the Deposit Guarantee Plaza downtown, which
it became the Cellular,
which is
South,
now
it's
Regions, Regions now.
But I think it was Cellular South in the interim, if I'm not mistaken. I could be way wrong on that.
It may have been at some point. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, they, you know, Mr. Reeves, he, again, this larger than life character, he was like, well, if that's the biggest, you know, building in the city, we got to have a store there. And so they opened a shop, of course, in the Deposit Guarantee Building downtown. And
this is like an entrepreneur after my own heart.
He's really something, you know? And of course, you know, just kind of carried on from there. Premium tobacco, of course, was a different market then. We've talked about that. The you know, as far as the premium tobacco world, pipes was the pipes were king, right? Pipes were just, they just were. It was you know, in our market here, I mean, 80% of our business was pipe related stuff, and there were no cigar shops in Jackson until the 90s
today,
you know?
And that's what pipes were.
That's what pipes were then, if not more so. Really amazing. And you know, looking at the shop, looking at the space that we're currently in right now, Bo, you can see that, right? I mean, if you're a 1970s entrepreneur, you're like, okay, where are we going to put our inventory and our assets? Well, they did that. They put it, you know, at the tobacco bar where we're sitting now, or you know, in all these fancy display cases where pipes are proudly displayed. The cigar humidor is tucked away in the back. It you know, occupies probably maybe a 13th of the amount of space that we've got here in the shop, kind of thing, you know. And so it's just interesting, right?
There is almost a nature to the cigar humidor that is there today.
Yeah.
I don't mean this in, you know, any kind of disrespect, but there's almost kind of like an afterthought nature to
As a matter of fact, so many people, you know, over the years had kind of forgotten the fact that we even sold cigars. And so one of the first things we did when I bought the shop from the Reeves family, we actually cut a big hole in the side of the humidor and put a window there so people could see that there were cigars there. But
you just got sick of answering the question.
I did. Frankly, you know, people come in like, oh, you don't sell cigars? I'm like, no, they're just right around the corner. You know, it's it's funny, but oddly enough, it's really cool. Of course, this shop has been a proud, Fuente, Arturo Fuente dealer from the very, very beginning. And Carlos Fuente himself actually opened this Fuente account in the early 1970s. That's when, Cuban cigars had just gone out in the early 60s. And the Fuente company was an old but small company. And they were, they kind of benefited from that Cuban exit of the market. And so, mm-hmm. The Fuente family, they were going through the Southeast trying to, really beat the bushes, trying to really get their name out there and take up some of this market that had just disappeared. And so, Carlos Fuente, he was kind of doing this tour of the Southeast, and he made a point to come by the Country Squire here and peddle his wares, right? And before you knew it, we were one of their leading Fuente accounts here in this region. And even as cigars dwindled over the years, in our shop anyway, you could always count on getting a really good selection of Fuentes here at the Country Squire.
Wow.
So kind of cool. Anyway, on and on, they had all kinds of events here at the shop that were at that time pipe related, right? Different trunk shows and whatnot would come through, much like you'll see today with our friends at Briarworks coming through or, Dunhill or anything. They had a lot of that same spirit come around. And, it was one of those things that they just took a lot of pride in. So this was a Sheraton shop, of course. I'm smoking my Sheraton tonight, and we sold a lot of those and carried on, until that company kind of met its demise. But, in the early 80s, of course, we had the Easter flood, which, sunk the whole shop in water. And, of course, that was a real trying time for us. And then in 1981, Mr. Reeves passed away. He died of a heart attack at an early age. And this shop, until 2016, was run by a woman, and that was really always fascinating to me, that a real gentleman focused sophisticated Southern smoke shop was female led for that long.
There's
something about that that's pretty special.
I mean, you think pipe smoking in the 80s, I mean, like that's the manly man,
No,
and,
exactly.
And here was Miss Reeves here behind the counter holding
all,
it down.
All 90 pounds of her, Yeah.
it was one of those things. To this day, it's interesting just thinking about people that I've run into, I've had discussions with about, I do a podcast, or I do a podcast of what I do on for the Country Squire.
Yeah.
Like, wait, Country Squire in Jackson?
That place is still open?
I used to go to, I remember there was this lady back there, and it was like, yeah, Miss Reeves. She's like, She's doing a podcast. Like, no, she's passed. it's always kind of interesting because everybody has these stories. She left such an impression, as did her husband. Like, they were just a powerhouse of a family
in
the community.
That's right. And were for a really, really long time. It was something. And that's something that just kind of cemented their legacy here in the Jackson area. It was a place where folks always knew they could come and, get away from it all, but also, come in a time of need. So, pretty great little story. As the premium market changed, right, we had to, in the 90s, of course, the cigar boom hit, and we had all these, cigar shops popping up. Of course, the Country Squire has always sold cigars. We love cigars, but the shop had trouble kind of catching up and maintaining momentum in that side of the industry. I mean, you can see that even from our physical layout today, as we discussed, our humidor is just kind of small. We did try. We had the first cigar event here in Mississippi back in the late 90s, and that was at the old Iron Horse Grill before it burned down.
Really?
In downtown Jackson, that was hosted
Wow.
Hosted by our shop. It just kind of had trouble competing, and And what's interesting, and I love this. It was part of it was a tough season for the shop, but it also really proved a lot about this shop. Is that the Country Squire never gave up on its pipe centric focus. You know, even through the 90s and on into the 2000s, this shop has always primarily been a pipe shop. And even to this day, if you talk to folks in the industry, people marvel that, you know, our little dusty old pipe shop, we are one of the few in the nation that still does over 50% of its business in pipes and pipe tobacco, which is just awesome, and we're really thankful for. So pipe sales kind of began to shrink, and also family members either grew up and moved on, did their own thing, or died off. They kind of consolidated the store to its original location, which is here at the quarter on Lakeland Drive. You know, it's funny, Jackson, if you talk to any of these cigar reps that come through here, they always laugh because, you know, generally they're from other areas like Nashville or Atlanta or Dallas. So they come from these big markets, but they always laugh at Jackson because we have this really kind of drama queen tobacco culture here in Jackson when it comes to the cigar stuff. So all these cigar shops that are around Jackson, there's all this like infighting and like hatred with one another and like backstabbing and all this stuff. And it's just always this really funny, dramatic, like soap opera kind of thing within the premium tobacco culture here in Jackson. But for all these years, the Country Squire has just been over here tucked away, just like Switzerland, just hanging out. and what's funny is a lot of those shops, you know, have come and gone, and our dusty old smoke shop is just still here.
Man.
So yeah, pretty special. But Mrs. Reeves hired me, of course, in 2011, and a little before that we started to see kind of an uptick in business, and we've kind of engaged with everything, we've seen a real renaissance in pipe smoking, and so of course our shop has benefited from that, like other smoke shops have as well. And I guess I want to close on this, like I hear constantly the countless stories of people that walk through the door and just talk about how much they love an institution like this, you know, coming in here and chatting with people that you'd never talk to on the street, but gosh, you're smoking the same tobacco, and that's just cool, you know. there's something to be said about a place like this. You know, we talk often about that, you know, if you light up a pipe or a cigar with someone, they can, you know, they'll tell you whatever you want to know. And that's really true. You know, this shop has been a real part of my own growth. I'll never forget when Mrs. Reeves hired me. It was back in a season where I was just really, really suffering greatly, emotionally and spiritually and otherwise. And here, this little 89-year-old woman, she befriended me and led me and worked with me and mentored me and encouraged me. And she was just a real light in a very dark time in my life. And so this shop is kind of a part of my story in that way. I feel like I gained a lot of sense of integrity here. When you get to you have a lot of insecurity as a young man, and you know, you that has dealt with a lot of your own demons, you know, and you, I finally got to the point where, you know, I'm going to try to be authentic. I'm going to try to be myself and really trust other people with my story and with who I am, and see how that feels. And a lot of those first steps, a lot of those first attempts to really truly be myself happened right here in this shop. And happened with, people like you and others, here over a warm cup of coffee and a pipe, you know, and that's pretty special. So I owe a lot to Mrs. Reeves, who hired me, owe a lot to her daughter, Kim. Of course met my wife, here in this shop, right over there, actually. And our first kiss was actually 5 feet out that door.
Ooh.
Right there. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. That's
in
right.
fact, their first child was, never mind.
No. Yeah. So, you know, it's just
maybe.
It's just Hey, you never know. It's just funny, you know. It's neat. Of course, you know, our dear friend Breyer, he met his wife in the shop. Yeah. Other folks have too. We've had people that have become business partners or roommates or, gosh, any other host of relationships
every
have
single
developed
relationship
in the
possible.
Shop.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's just it's so funny, man. And anyway, we're very thankful. You know, it's someone was marveling just today. You know, they said, gosh, us in you know Central Mississippi, we're just lucky to have. An institution like this, you know, because it's just rare. You know, you go now, Memphis doesn't have a real, you know, pipe shop. You know, the New Orleans has several great cigar shops, but, you know, no, not really a pipe shop to speak of. You've got Atlanta, you know, they've got a bunch of smoke shops, but I don't know of a real pipe centric shop in Atlanta. It's just, you know, and here we are in the depths of, you know, quiet little Mississippi. And we've got this, this great story to tell. And so we're very thankful for it. We hope we, you know, we'll be a good steward of it. And gosh, it's, this space, it's going to be hard to give up, but we hope we do it well in the future and are going to try to carry his spirit forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's a beautiful thing too, yeah. Because no matter where the shop is, you know, the spirit of the Reeves and the work that they did and generating this community, this business will always live on no matter the location. But one thing that was really beautiful, we mentioned this at the top of the show, but, at the last shindig here, not only were, you know, the Mrs. Reeves' children present, but also her grandchildren.
Although
it's
her grandchildren, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And just,
which, you know, if you came in this shop, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it was very likely that your, you know, pound of Cherokee was going to get weighed up by an 8-year-old. You know, which I love, and even thinking about down the road, even though our you know society's changed and everything, it's like, man, I want my 8-year-old son to weigh up tobacco in my shop. You know, I want him up here blending pipe tobacco. You know, and hanging out and you know, kind of getting to experience what it's like in this kind of environment. And man, it's just beautiful. You know, and yeah. I'm very. You know, we've done a lot of work here, obviously, and, you know, folks have been very generous and kind to us, you know, as you and I have been here and worked hard at the Squire and on CSR, but, you know, we owe a lot to, the stuff in the past. And frankly, I kind of feel like we're just caretakers and whoever is the next person that comes along, they'll be the next guy. And so we're just filling the shoes while we're here and keeping making sure the lamp stays lit while we're here. And, someday there will be someone else, but, while we're here, we're going to be really, thankful.
You know, I'm thinking right now about, somebody who might be listening to this podcast for the first time, and this is their first episode. And my guess is they probably turned it off by now.
They may have. Yeah.
I am always trying to be.
I thought this was about like pipe smoking.
Right.
Or something.
Exactly.
Right.
I try to be cognizant of the fact that every single episode is somebody's first. But if this is your first episode and you made it this long, welcome. This has always been a very special podcast because it's, I think from day one, I know from day one, our goal has been to bring the spirit of what the shop has been to the masses. Our initial concept was to bring it to the people that are already kind of part of this community, kind of give them something to take with them and kind of bring them back to the shop, even when they're not necessarily here. But what we found pretty quickly is that so many of you resonate with wanting a special place like this. So
and
brick and mortar's tied to this audio.
Gosh, you nailed it, man. I guess that occasionally is lost on me. Of course, we've been doing this, almost 5 years now, you know, and we've kind of developed it, you know, we're just this kind of, you know, casual, warm, corny, campy, but, you know, fun kind of
professional,
but, you know, we're just this kind of, you know, this soft spoken couple, you know, of guys that just, you know, are interested in pipes and love premium tobacco, but also, you know, are just interested in people, you know, and that's the spirit of this shop. You know, that's this podcast in some ways, I think, really does exemplify what the Country Squire is. And so, you know, what you're getting on air here is real authentic, warts and all. and you know, it's not for everybody, but it's But it does serve a lot of people, and we're thankful for that, and we're glad we get to do just give you a little glimmer across the world of what it's like to have a shop like this in your backyard.
That's good, man.
Yeah,
and the future is bright because, of course, taking this exact same spirit and energy and moving it next door. But I can't do that without paying homage to what has come before. That's always been the spirit of the show, the shop, and honestly, the spirit of pipe culture in general. You know, the Country Squire has always been a name that everybody knows that is into the pipe culture, that wants to represent pipe culture, do what's right for the pipe culture. But there's other great companies out there as well.
And we support those great companies.
We do.
And we're proud to.
And they support us, and we're proud that they do. And of course, I'm talking about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. Of course, the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, there's no greater supporter of pipe smoking historically in the United States. And gosh, we just love what they do. And there's no more appropriate pipe the Country Squire than the Country Gentleman.
And of course, from my money, this is like the best Missouri Meerschaum pipe. I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm just telling you, like it
is. Yeah, there's a reason we sell a lot of them. It's a chunkier pipe, it's one of those that folks look back on. Man, if that's a 1970s corncob pipe, that's what you're looking at right there. Mm-hmm. is a Country Gentleman. Of course, they have a really large, generous bowl. It's kind of a nice curved bowl, which it feels good in your hand. And of course, it's a long black stem. It comes in a straight and a bent variety, and it's just a great pipe with the classic brown sanded finish. And so just a really sharp pipe. It's one of those that if you are looking for a corncob pipe that will maintain your dapper appearance and really has a nice sense of sophistication as well as a hometown feel, down to earth feel, the Country Gentleman is the pipe for you. And we think it fits our shop very, very well.
Absolutely. So if you've got a Country Gentleman, smoke it in honor of the Country Squire. And of course, take a picture, tweet it in. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Question of the week this week comes in from Corey Chaplin. Chaplin Corey.
Or Chaplin Corey.
I think he prefers Chaplin Corey.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, "Hey guys, I'm beginning to think about my next pipe purchase. Aren't we all?" he says, "I'm curious about that sweet spot between too cheap and too fancy. What makes an expensive pipe better, and what is the price point at which the higher price brings beauty and form, but not necessarily greater function? Finally, any recommendations on a church warden pipe?" Again, that's from Chaplain Corey. So he's asking a great question here. He's trying to find that sweet spot.
That's a great question.
He doesn't want to just buy a cheapo pipe. He's willing to spend some money to get good quality, but he doesn't want to go over and above if it doesn't mean good quality, and he's just going for like, look at me. That kind of thing.
Yeah, it is one of those things. Of course, people are like, how is this $150 pipe different from a $50 pipe? And am I really getting something special if I'm buying a $600 pipe, that's been hand carved and all this other stuff? And the answer is there is a benefit typically to buying a more expensive pipe, but I think there is a sliding scale to this. And you bring up a great question. So, like, what makes the expensive pipe better? Well, I've always seen, personally, I'd love to see other professionals in this industry kind of give their opinion, but I've always seen kind of a drop off in the improvement after you hit about $200. Like, there, in other words, there's a big difference.
Interesting. Okay.
There's a big difference between a $40 pipe and $150 pipe.
Every single pipe carver that's got something on the market right now for like $210 is like, "No, John David."
I know, right. No, exactly. $199.99. Yeah. There's a huge difference between and of course, we're talking in generalities here, but there's a huge difference between a $40 pipe and a $160 pipe, right? Your main, your big time pipe manufacturers, folks like Savinelli and Stanwell and Peterson and all the usual suspects, they're gonna spend more time aging their briar, caring for it, selecting quality grain, and all these other things. And so you'll see a bigger variance kind of in that strata there. A $40 pipe, the You know, the quality of the grain and the amount that it was aged, whether the grain was forcibly aged or, you know, let to air dry in a barn in northern Italy or something like that. You know, so there's a difference here. And so you'll see that more once you get, and again, broad brushstrokes, but I feel like in my own professional, you know, experience, once you get kind of over that $200, $250 range, you start to see certainly pipes that are finer and also that smoke better, but I think it's much less dramatic. And I think a lot of what you're paying for at that point is just extreme precision in very minor things, like incredible extreme precision in things like drilling and the grain placement on, you know, how a pipe is carved, or you know, the stem work is just exquisite. It's over the top amazing on how, you know, precise the stem work is and fine and you know, all this kind of stuff. And so those things do make a better pipe. They make a better smoking pipe, a better experience. But you know, it's much less of a step at that point. So if you're looking for your first you know, good pipe that you know, is gonna you know, maybe you've been a, you know, a basket pipe smoker or something, you're like, I want to kind of step it up a little bit and get a pipe that,
nothing wrong with it.
And that's right,
a lot of us got started with those basket
that's
pipes.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, so, you know, I want to smoke something that, you know, it's a little more premium, something I know that, hey, I'm going to experience a difference when I smoke this pipe. You know, I'd point you to a I'd point you to a Bing's Favorite from Savinelli. You know, I'd point you to Hans Christian Andersen Church Warden from Stanwell. You know, I'd point you to a you know, Aaron pipe from Peterson or something like that. Something that you know, is from a reputable manufacturer that, you know, where you just know those folks have taken a little more time to care for their briar. They've gotten some better picks of the wood than other folks have, and the quality of the drilling and the precision there is just a little better than what you'd see otherwise. So I think that's a good place to start.
That's good. You know, we've talked about it before, like we've had episodes on it before, but it might be time to revisit the topic of form versus function as kind of like a pipe smoking 101.
Yeah, sure.
At some point. So yeah, that might spark a deeper dive in the future.
You know, Briarworks pipes, golly. I mean, you know, you pick up a $130 Briarworks pipe and, man, that's a good pipe. That's a darn good pipe, man. I mean, there's so many great pipes there that you could smoke. A Nirup, excellent value. Nording, excellent value. You know, once you get to some of those pipe brands, they're kind of mid-grade flagship lines within those brands. That's kind of where you want to be. And if you can smoke those pipes and really get into them, you'll come to know what a good pipe really smokes like.
Yeah, there's a Briarworks pipe in particular that I really, really want.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think I can pull it off. That's all I'll say about it. Because, like, every single time I look at, like, their suite of pipes, there's just one that my eye always goes to, and I'm like, I wish I could pull this off. I don't think I can. Because, you know, you got, to some extent, like, the form goes into it.
No, it does. You know? It does. That's why, you know, we've always in the shop, people laugh at us, but here in the Country Squire, whenever you are shopping for a pipe, we always tell pipe shoppers that there is a mirror in the shop. And the mirror is so that you can go look at in the mirror at yourself holding your perspective pipe. Just because, you know, when you try on a jacket, you want to see how it looks. And when you try on your pipe, you want to see how it looks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Great question, Chaplain. Thank you so much for sending that in to us. I'm guessing Chaplain is his profession.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm just going to throw that
out.
And hey, if you got a pipe question of the week, send it in to us, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com. I like how you timed the lighting right when I said .com. Totally intentionally.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was really
I'm sure I messed something up, right?
No, not at all. It was cool. It added to the effect.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, man. Quick fire questions brought to us by the Tin Society. More on them in just a moment. These are actually written in by listener Chase Abels. Okay, Chase has got, these are, they're not necessarily a theme. This is like classic Squire, you know, Quickfire Squire.
Okay, great. Yeah, all Chase actually came all the way up from Lafayette to join us for the final shindig.
Yeah,
the
that's
last,
right.
The last shindig.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and Chase, sure is, Chase has come up from time to time.
He had come up for the slow smoke competitions, and I mean, he's a longtime friend of the shop.
Yeah. I'm so bad with names and faces, but somehow when you said Chase and Lafayette, that clicked with me. I was
like,
I remember
talking
to
you. Knew exactly who you were,
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Cars or trucks?
Cars.
Absolutely cars.
I aspire to be a truck guy. I own a pickup truck now.
Oh, well, good to know.
Yeah, I do. I own one.
You're comfortable broadcasting this.
I am.
All right, so next time I'm moving. This is your guy.
No. Did I say I own a pickup truck? Right. I mean, I own a Tonka truck. Right.
Cars. I mean, trucks, it is, you know, obviously we're here.
Utility.
We're here in Mississippi. That beyond the utility, there's just like a general like culture factor.
Yeah, well, you're a dude,
being,
right?
Oh,
you're,
I own a truck,
right. Well, I mean, when you kill your deer, you got it. You're not gonna put it in the back of your Camry.
That's right. That's right. We don't even need our rifle to kill the deers. We just like just hit on that gas. You take them right there. You bring it back. You put it up on your mantle right there.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just lacked it. Because never mind. Anyway. I drove a truck one time, briefly after a car wreck, and it was a.
Did you have a truck wreck?
Well, no. What's the the car rental place? I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, they set me up with a truck, and it was like a big monster truck, not a monster truck, but like huge. Like I had to climb up to get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
it was probably an F-150.
I am too small to be driving this truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we're short guys.
Yeah, we're short dudes.
If you're driving that kind of truck,
you buy that kind of truck to compensate.
Exactly.
You know, right.
Exactly for your intelligence.
Right.
All right. Ready? Curtain or blinds?
Curtain. Curtains are classier.
Curtains for you.
Curtains.
Yeah, I'm going to go with curtains as well. Definitely classier. Marvel or DC Comics? You won't know what that means.
Let me
put it this way.
I like Marveling, so I'll Marvel.
Marvel, Spider-Man, DC, Superman. Is that better?
Marvel.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it really depends on the storyline or the character. If we're specifically talking comics, obviously movie, it's no competition. Marvel's killing it. So it really, it just depends. I mean,
you have to pick one.
Okay. Yeah. I might go with DC. Now, again, movies, Marvel all the way. But like DC has some amazing various comic book runs. And even after they totally screwed up their continuity, they've still done some pretty creative things. And yeah, DC. I'm going to go DC. Barbecue and tobacco or breakfast and tobacco? Specifically for a pairing episode.
Jeez. Like in some alternate universe, if you ever would pair food with pipe tobacco on a podcast of all things.
Yeah. An alternate universe where the future is now. Yes, that's
right. between the two, I'd probably go barbecue.
Yeah.
I'd probably go barbecue. Actually, I'm smoking this English blend tonight, this Cornishman, and it's so good. It always, a lot of folks, they kind of lose that initial thought, but English blends remind you of barbecue. You got that smoky, rich kind of charcoal flavor. It does. It kind of reminds you of barbecue.
Yeah, it does. We're winning them over, guys. I'm going to go barbecue. Although that being said, I hadn't considered breakfast and tobacco pairing. Perhaps barbecue is just the gateway Squire selects to what we could do in the future.
Well, you never know. There might be a place for bacon.
Like if I've learned something with John David, you can't push it. You get baby steps.
That's right.
Baby steps.
That's
Let's
right.
Get that barbecue up. And then finally, movies or books?
Books, but by a hair. No, actually by a mile. What am I talking about? I love books. Yeah, I'm a book reader.
I mean,
I don't watch movies.
But you like classic movies. Like you're versed in the classics.
Well,
but you are more of a book guy.
Yeah, I'm a book guy. Yeah.
I consume far more movies than I do books, which is probably again intelligence compensation. I like the idea of books, and I do read books. It just literally takes me like 2 years to finish one book. All right, so those are the quickfire questions from Chase Abels. Again, quickfire questions brought to us by the 10 Society. Now, the 10 Society, for those unfamiliar, is an awesome online service where you can get pipe tobacco delivered to your door on a monthly basis. What, you might say? Yes, various tobaccos brought to you to expand your palate. You know, this we're in a day and age where everything's on demand,
yeah,
right?
No, that's right.
And we've actually gone beyond that, because it's not just I click a button and it's here. Now it's I didn't even have to click the button. It's just here.
And it's curated for you.
Exactly.
That's what I love about it. You're going to get a great selection of really popular tobaccos, obscure stuff, and also mainstream stuff, things that are, you know, all over the map as far as historically, you know, very important tobaccos for our world, but also things that are new and cutting edge. And the folks at the Tin Society really push all of that, and they give you a great bird's eye view of what it's like to be a tobacco enthusiast. And so you're going to get all kinds of different samples each month, and enough to smoke several bowls of each kind, just so you get a really good understanding of what it's like. And you never know, you might find a new favorite that that you'll wind up stocking up on there in the future. And you get to learn that you like that tobacco without having to purchase a whole tin of it. And so just a great opportunity to really see what's out there. So the folks at the Tin Society do a good job. If you go to tinsociety.com, sign up for the service and use the code Squire, you'll get 20% off your first month service. And again, that's tinsociety.com. If you talk to those guys, mention that you heard us, heard about them on the Country Squire Radio, and we would appreciate it greatly. Thanks so much to them for supporting our show.
All right, man.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week. Let's see. We actually got a bunch of listener feedback in this week. Let's go with the first one. Daniel from Des Moines. Also pronounced Des Moines, I believe.
It is Des Moines.
That's unfortunate.
Daniel from Des Moines. Brothers, I just wanted to tell you how much I truly enjoy the Country Squire Radio broadcast. I've recently reinvigorated my love of pipe smoking. And with many of my guilty pleasures, I tend to go full tilt. So I spent easily 3 back-to-back episodes listening to CSR each evening, even enjoying repeating many of them.
Wow.
While I smoke a few or several pipes. I learned so much. I enjoy your banter, the feedback, and the quick fire with the Squire bits. I love those. As a personal side note, I wanted to share something with you. Our family has recently gone through a very difficult time. Your podcast has honestly been a highlight of my day. Each evening, I can't wait to sit down on the deck, light the first pipe, and listen to CSR. It's been a beacon of light during a dark time. My kids hear me chuckle and laugh and comment on it with joy. I can't thank you, lads, enough for what you do. You've also lifted my spirits during the time they need it. Blessings to you all, prosperity and success as well, and thank you. Yours in Christ, Daniel from Des Moines. Daniel, what a man, that is... there's probably no higher praise than that, man. We're glad. We hope we point you to good tobaccos you love. We hope you learn things about you know, pipe culture and pipes. But we stay in this business and doing this podcast because we get to meet people like you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, man, that's great, brother.
Well, and Daniel, I'll tell you, man. I remember when I moved from Jackson to Memphis well over a decade ago. I remember it was a really kind of lonely time in my life. I just got married, so it was a great time with my wife. But beyond that, you know, I didn't really have any kind of new friendships, and the only thing that really carried over was the podcast that I listened to.
Yeah.
And I remember in those early days just recognizing the relationship that ends up developing when you're listening to a podcast, when you've got kind of these shared interests and that sort of thing, being just this very powerful thing and something that really helped me get through that kind of time as well. And so anyway, all that to say, like, you know, we really, really appreciate that feedback. I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, we've always looked at this podcast as something of a relationship between us and y'all. And so just anyway, all that to say, man, we're so honored that you brought us along with you through that time. And if we were able to provide some joy, knowledge, guidance, whatever it may be, man, what a great blessing. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. We also got Charlie Gillis.
Yeah. He says, I found your podcast after picking up a pipe for the first time this past April. So I'm working through the older episodes as time allows. Last night, I listened to a Squire Select episode from 2016, where one of the whiskeys you reviewed was Border Straight Bourbon. When I heard John David say the name, I thought, holy crap, that's my local distillery. I live about 20 minutes away from the 45th Parallel Distillery and have been able to enjoy both the bourbon and the vodka. Being in Wisconsin, I never thought I would hear something so local being talked about elsewhere in the country, let alone on a podcast from Mississippi. I don't really have a point to this other than to let you know you now have a loyal listener in Western Wisconsin. So keep up the good work. Thanks, Charlie Gillis. Charlie, man, that's awesome, dude. You just never know what you're going to find on the old interwebs. And, man, we're thankful. Yep.
The power of the Squire Select. Just that interstate. International Wisconsin, it's basically a whole other country. This breakdown of barriers, the universal connection, it can't be just contained to the bourbon. Could you imagine somebody out there right now in Nowheresville, Tennessee, which is probably a thing, is sitting back and enjoying some of their local hometown barbecue. They're enjoying that sauce, and they're listening to Country Squire Radio.
You're
thinking,
such a sucker.
Thinking, I wish I had that kind of connection with this amazing podcast from Mississippi. If only they would validate our barbecue. That's what they're thinking in Tennessee. Now, obviously, not Memphis, mind you. Memphis doesn't need any validation, but the rest of everybody else in Tennessee.
No, that's right.
That's what they're feeling. Oh man, well I tell you what, we had so much in and we're kind of pushed up time, so we'll save the rest of the feedback for next week, but thank y'all so much for writing in, sending those thoughts.
Yeah,
and stories.
Golly, it's so great. You know, I'm in this kind of pensive mode where I'm thinking about the past of our shop and how much it means to me, and just being extra thoughtful. And of course you guys are adding it on here, and just letting us know why we keep doing what we do, and we're very grateful.
Yeah, man, we got some great kind of thoughts and pictures that people have been tweeting in tonight from their pipe pilgrimage that they've made to this current shop. We've been retweeting those out, so be sure to check Twitter for them. I want to share something that, of course, an extremely good friend of the show, Brian Levine, tweeted, and he says, "The soul of a shop is in the people, both the ones that work there and the ones that shop. You got that covered. The atmosphere is the actual shop. Just bring some of the old dust into the new spot, and you will be good to go." And I think Brian
awesome.
Is absolutely yep. correct.
Thanks, Brian.
And yep. trust us. John David is far too dirty a person to leave all the dust behind.
Foul, really. Just filthy.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
It's all coming on over. So.
We're bringing it.
Yeah. Man, what a great chance to kind of honor the place that we've been, for so very long. Now, of course, this is the last live broadcast from this shop.
That's right.
And while we would love next week to broadcast from the new location,
yep.
There is a moat around the shop right now. They have dug up all the areas. John David has been meticulously telling them he's not moving into that shop until they dig up the earth, literally the earth underneath. That's what I think about whenever I see the big hole in front of it.
The craters in yeah. front of the shop, right?
But anyway, so it's going to be a process moving on over. So for the next couple of weeks, things are going to be a little bit different. We will publish out to Twitter and Facebook with when the broadcast times
yeah,
are going
to be. Yeah, broadcast time. So, you know, if we meet, you know, at a time other than now, we'll, give you the opportunity to join along with us.
That's yes. absolutely right. So if it's a little wonky over the next couple of weeks, that's why. Don't think that the live show is going away. That's not the case. But just give us a little bit of grace as we kind of transition into the new place. Now, that being said, that is strictly the live show. Those of you who just tune in for the podcast, you will experience
no change.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be about the same. I say that. I don't know what the acoustics are yet in the new place.
Nah.
Huh.
Well, we'll find out.
That just occurred to me. We will definitely find out, but we'd love for you to find out with us. One way or the other, you can tune in to the podcast. When we do broadcast, we do it from the YouTube channel. You can find links to that at countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
And of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/countrysquireradio. All that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Again, over the next couple of weeks, following us on social media is going to be important. As we get new information, we will share that with you in terms of what the plans are for the broadcast. Big shout out, by the way, to everybody who was tuning in tonight. This was a special one, guys. We're really, really honored and glad to have you with us for this special episode of Country Squire Radio.
Yeah.
Well, man, all right. I feel like I should spill something one more time.
No, please don't.
Yeah. I did consider pouring some out. quote-unquote.
That's the problem. You know, we always talk about on this dirty old shop, it's like, man, you got to be careful. If you spill something, you'll leave a clean spot. And like now, I mean, we can't say that anymore, you know. So we, no, I don't know, we got to bring some of that patina with us over to the new dig.
I don't know, man. Your new crew has been spot cleaning everything. I always feel like I'm dirtying the place up whenever I walk in.
Oh, you dirty everything up, bro.
Likewise. Well, hey, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.